You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
So today I wanted to talk about the upcoming midterm elections in the United States. They're not coming until the November 6th, but I still felt like it was good timing to talk about it. Donald Trump was elected a little bit under 2 years ago, and so it's a rule in the American political regime that US electors are voting halfway through this presidential mandate, which is what we call midterm elections. So I'm not sure that every listener knows exactly what they are, so I'm going to walk people through that. So what are people voting for? Well, they're choosing new members of the Congress. Now, the Congress is the combination of the two American parliamentary chambers. We've got the House of Representatives and the Senate. They both work together to write and pass laws, but the Senate has a little bit extra power. For instance, confirming the president's choice of judges and senior government officials, that is Attorney General or Supreme Court nominees, like we've just seen with Brett Kavanaugh being nominated and then later confirmed by the US Senate. Now, all members of Congress are not being re-elected. All 435 seats in the House of Representatives are up for election, so this whole chamber is going to be renewed, but only 35 out of 100 senator seats are being voted for. And because senators are being elected for 6 years, so their terms are staggered so that about a third of the seats are up for election every 2 years. So the senators that are going to be elected on November 6th will remain in the Senate until 2022. And members of the House of Representatives are only serving a two-year term. So the face of the House can actually change quite dramatically compared to that of the Senate, which is a bit more settled. So why are we talking so much about these elections? Well, obviously, US electors are voting for their local representatives, but also historically, midterm elections are pretty much a referendum on the country's leader and his action. In this instance, Donald Trump. He is very aware of this, and he's been rallying around the country quite a bit and saying things like, a vote for said candidate is a vote for me. So he's really making it a personal affair, which he should, because that's kind of how it works over there. And so these elections could actually have quite big repercussions on the remaining years of the presidential mandate for the next couple of years, because the Congress passes the law. It's an incredible asset for the president to have a majority there. Currently, both houses of the Congress have a Republican majority, which means that President Trump has theoretical support for whatever reforms he wants to see pass. That includes, for instance, building a wall at the Mexican border, replacing Obamacare, or reinstating the family separation policy at the border, for instance. So those are things that Trump has said that he wanted to do. And if he keeps that majority and he keeps having the support of the Congress, then he will more than likely be able to pass said policies. So who's going to win is something that people would like to know. I don't think we can really, I don't think we have like a clear winner, but obviously if we look at opinion polls, which people tend to do, the Democrats could actually do pretty well. At the moment, if they want to take control of the House of Representatives, they have to claim 23 or more seats from the Republicans. It might not be actually as hard as it looks, primarily because a lot of Republicans are stepping down this year for whatever reason. Some just don't want to be elected again or run for elections or just want different jobs, I suppose. But what that means is that there's going to be a lot of new faces that electors are going to have to decide whether to vote for or not, which kind of reshuffles the cards a little bit and so makes it a bit harder to predict, but there is room for change. Basically, the Republicans have 42 seats that are considered at risk of being lost. And so if the Democrats claim 23 of these and don't lose the ones that they currently have, then they'll have a majority. For the Senate, that could actually be a little bit harder to overturn because more than half of those 35 seats that are up for election are already pretty safe Democrat seats. So there's kind of less room for gaining ground, but it's not impossible. So what does it mean for Donald Trump? Well, like I said before, the US system is made in a way that only functions properly if the president has a majority in both chambers. Otherwise, it's pretty much gridlock. So that's what happened to Barack Obama. He got elected in 2008, and during his first term, he lost the midterm elections in 2010, quite dramatically. And so he lost the majority at both the Senate and the House of Representatives, which meant that it made it really hard for him to be able to pass the laws that he wanted to do. And if you look at his most known policies like healthcare, there were things that he did in the first 2 years of his first term. After that, it was really hard for him to pass anything. And so that could, if it, the same, a similar thing was to happen to Donald Trump, that could make his, he could have way less of a margin to push his agenda forward. And then, so what does it mean for President Trump personally? Well, that could also mean a vote for impeachment, which is something that we've been talking about quite a bit before, when there were allegations of Russian meddling in the election campaign in 2016. For an impeachment procedure, you need a majority of vote at the House of Representatives. So that's probably the reason it hasn't happened yet, is because the majority at the moment belongs to the Republicans, who have little interest in impeaching a president that is Republican as well. Now, if the chamber becomes Democrat, well, has a Democrat majority, there is a chance that this majority, which is needed to vote for impeachment, will indeed vote for impeachment. That doesn't actually mean that the impeachment procedure is going to go all the way, because not only do you need that majority vote, but then you also need 2/3 of the Senate to find the president guilty for him to be removed. So if you have majority at the House of Representatives, which votes for impeachment, but then your Senate stays Republican, or at least 2/3 not Democrat, then it could be quite hard for that to go all the way. So yeah, Trump's probably safe for a little while longer, I'd say. And so what's next? Well, obviously these elections are going to be a good indicator of the country's power balance before the 2020 election. Obviously it will tell us whether Donald Trump has the support base that he claims he has. So that's going to be interesting. Also, with the 2020 elections in sight, let's not forget that during these midterm elections, voters also elect their state governors. So these are pretty much head of state, not the federal state, but head of state, like local state. And so these people have a big influence on people's daily lives, because in that federal state configuration, a lot of things that touch on at people's everyday life are being decided at the state level, not the federal state level. So governors are actually quite, they have quite a big influence in people's votes. They also are able to raise a lot of money, and so they make really good allies for presidential campaigns. So that, how many governors of each party will kind of, could make a difference in the 2020 election. Now, one thing that I just wanted to touch on before the end is voter suppression, which maybe I should talk about how historically midterm elections have seen a very low turnout. It's quite, so like presidential elections are usually 50 to 60% turnout, but midterms elections are more like 40%, which is pretty bad, to be honest. A lot of people are just not showing up to vote. But something that could affect that even more is what we call voter suppression, which is accusations of basically things being put in place to make it harder for some people to vote. So that can be different things. It can be harder identification needed, harder policies around identification. It can be polling place closures, or another thing that's quite common apparently now is voter roll purges. There has been accusation in the state of Georgia that we're talking about 340,000 electors that would have been removed from the rolls by the current Secretary of State, who also just happened to be a governor candidate, Brian Kemp. And what that means is that basically within a specific time frame, if you don't participate in elections, then you're automatically rolled out and cancelled. So you could show up to a poll, to a polling station and try and vote, but you would have been deregistered because you haven't taken part in previous elections. Obviously, you're not being warned about that, so that would be too easy. I mean, you get sent letters, which you have to send back after that, but I'm not sure when they actually do cancel your registration, if they tell you that you've been cancelled. So, yeah, we're talking about actually quite a few people that could be hit by voter suppression policies, and we're also interestingly talking about people who tend to be minority voters, and people from poorer socioeconomic backgrounds, also people who just so happen to usually vote more for Democrats than Republicans, so that can have an influence on the final result. And it's not just me extrapolating. If you don't believe me, there's been academic studies, journalistic investigations, and court ruling that talk about the topic. So there's a predicted blue wave for Democrats at these midterm elections, but I don't really know if that's going to happen. So we're going to have to wait and see. November 6th.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.